Let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the freedom that we have to be together in this room as believers worshiping you. I pray that we won't take those freedoms for granted. Thank you for Pastor Tim and his family. I pray that their healing will be quick. I pray for our time here this morning that the message that you give is able to be applied in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. That song, Trust and Obey, in my experience, it's really easy to trust and obey when things are simple. When there's no opposition, when the way is laid very clearly, plainly, it's really easy to follow and to trust and obey because there's no opposition. I want you to open your Bibles or tablets or phones or whatever device it is that we're using to Genesis 50, verse 15 is where we're going to start. The virtual VBS that's been going on has been following the life of Joseph. And today, Pastor Tim was going to wrap up the whole VBS idea in a conclusion on what Joseph went through in dealing with his brothers, with his father, and the hardships that were there. Joseph didn't exactly have a nice, easy path to go down. And after this funeral procession that Joseph went to, a lot of the Egyptians went to, his brothers had the realization of the implications of what this meant when their father had died. See, they'd been living in Egypt as a family unit for quite some time now, but by looking at the text, they didn't completely believe that Joseph had forgiven them. So in the back of their minds, there's still this fleeting idea that as long as Dad is still here, Dad wants to be appeased by Joseph doing what's right towards us. And now that Dad is gone, now Joseph can act however he wants. He is second in command of all of Egypt. He has the power to do whatever he chooses because he was given that signet ring by Pharaoh. And they started getting quite afraid because of this. Because remember, in their culture, it was common knowledge and it was taught that an eye for an eye is the way you treated people. In the Middle Eastern cultures, a lot of times there was a lot of rivalry going on. And that was common practice. That's not what was in Joseph's heart. Joseph wanted to follow God with honesty and integrity. But his brothers were scared. If Joseph wanted to, he could, one, kick them out of the country, two, have all their belongings taken away, three, he could even have them killed. They didn't know what was going to happen. So they devised this idea, and we read that they had a message. In verse 16 it says, so they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions. And it gives the little saying there. Kind of an interesting way to put this. Earlier in Genesis, it doesn't show anywhere where Jacob had left this message for Joseph. That being what it is, the message was still sent. And they use that key phrase, your father. This is an emotional power trip. They know they need to appease him. They didn't say, our father. They said, your father. It brings more gravity to the statement that's given. And it goes on to say, you need to forgive us, your brothers, for the sins that we've done against you. Think back at what had happened. Joseph was the favorite. He was 11th child in line. Just Benjamin was below him. And their father really catered to him. You guys know the really beautiful coat. Here's one hanging here on this little banister. He was given a beautiful coat of colors. And that made his brother so mad. Because you figure the shepherd's garb is, well, pretty plain. Dirty. Nothing to be excited about. But when you get a special coat that's dyed beautiful colors, that's something to be said. And they got really jealous and they got really mad at him. They had nothing good to say to him. And that day that he went to find them out in the fields, remember what happened? They saw him coming because of that beautiful coat that he had, and they connived and devised a plan. Let's just kill him. These are things that his own flesh and blood wanted to do to him. Ends up, they didn't do that. They threw him in the cistern, the water-holding chamber in the ground, and the caravan came by that was heading to Egypt selling spices there. So they said, let's just sell him. We'll get rid of him. Never see him again. So they took that beautiful coat, shredded it, and put blood on it from one of the sheep probably, and gave it to their father and lied about it, saying, sorry, Dad, he's dead. They may have said it differently than that, but that's the general text. So their father was brokenhearted. So they destroyed his life by doing that according to man's standards, not according to God. These things they did to him, they did out of hatred, out of jealousy. So Joseph received this message. He had no other knowledge. Did it come from his father or not? We just see what he did when he got it. And it says he wept at the end of verse 17 there. There's a few things going on here. The funeral had been over. It was a 70-day mourning period before they even made the procession to go back to the land of Canaan. So there was some time that went by, time to grieve. They had the funeral. Then they came back to Egypt. So some time has gone by, but the emotional pain doesn't just disappear, but it can be suppressed. So when they get this letter and they say it is from his father, of course, automatically all these thoughts come back of his father. So you have one aspect of the emotional attachment of just losing a father. The other one is the letter is talking about what his brothers had done. They had so much malice and anger and sold him as a slave. And then we know what the rest of the story brings of what he actually went through. But you have all those things that his brothers did coming in at the same time. But I think the big one here that really caused Joseph to have the feeling of the weeping and the sorrowful attitude is what happened back in chapter 45 when his brothers came. He was exposing himself to them as a loving, forgiving brother. And what did they do with that? Obviously, they didn't believe it. And he had forgiven them. He had given them land to live in. He got Pharaoh on their side. All these things he did, not just in word, but in deed, he was loving and caring for his family. And they didn't get it. And by here we see he was weeping because of this. And then his brothers came before him. Joseph is a leader. He is a ruler. And they bowed before him. Remember the first dream Joseph had, the sheaves of wheat that were out in the field. Joseph stood upright. All of the others bowed down that his brothers were doing. Then the sun, the moon, the stars, they all bowed before him. It was God letting Joseph know what was going to be happening. And here it's happening again where it's coming to be, where Joseph is being bowed before. And that must have been humbling because he knows it's only God that can give that. So his brothers took the stance of not as family members, not as just brothers, but they said, make us your servants. How about some of you kids? Think about that. Think of any one of your brothers or sisters. Would you willingly say to them, make me your servant? I wouldn't want to do that. But that's what they did. They were pretty scared. Back in Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives a parable about the prodigal son. He wanted to have his freedom. He wanted his inheritance, and he took off. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted his life in the type of living that he did, and he realized that he needed to go back home. He knew that by going back home, he would be accepted in his father's house, but he wasn't going to be asked to be taken back as a son. Do you remember what he wanted to be? A simple servant, because even the servants were eating better than he was in his condition. He would not consider himself worthy to be his father's son, just like these guys were not considering themselves worthy to be Joseph's brothers, to be taken back in. They wanted to be slaves. And this is an amazing sign of verbal forgiveness and acceptance completely. Joseph says in verse 19, he said to him, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Am I the one to judge you? No way. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives." The things that Joseph had to go through, trusting and obeying God. Brothers hated him. Father loved him. Sold. He became a slave in Potiphar's house. He was elevated to Potiphar's favorite servant. Potiphar's wife lied about him. Joseph did not do the crime, but he was thrown in prison because of it. For doing what? He had a good attitude, and he was faithfully doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was honorable before the Lord, and he was in prison because of it. In prison, he had a good attitude. He was willing. The person in charge of the prison put him in an elevated position in charge of all the prison. Then the dreams happen. The butler, the cupbearer. And then when they got out, the idea was the cupbearer would go before Pharaoh and say, "Hey, there's this guy in prison that didn't do anything." 2 years goes by. Think of how Joseph would have been feeling. Would you really feel like trusting and obeying? Boy, it'd be hard to have a good attitude. All these things happening. Then we know what happens is Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph becomes second in the land command. But he started out as a shepherd boy, a nobody. Same place all of us are. Who are we? But it's when God starts to do something with our lives, that's when he gets the glory for it, when we give him the glory for it. So Joseph reminded them, "Hey, you intended all of these things to be bad, detrimental to me, but look what God did with them. He flipped it all upside down. And because of that, because of your sin," he told his brother, "because of what you guys did, how many thousands and thousands of people's lives were saved, and God got all the glory because of it." Joseph was faithful, even in the hard times. Sometimes we don't want to be faithful in the hard times. It's hard. There's no two ways about it. But that doesn't mean we should do whatever we want. It means we continue on as God would have us to be living, to be sharing his word with other people, to be loving our brothers and sisters in Christ and in person. Even when our brothers and sisters are not very kind to us, we can still treat them with kindness. It shouldn't matter the circumstances. We can still be obedient to God. But as soon as we start looking at our circumstances, we're taking our eyes off of Christ, and that causes doubt. And the Bible warns of that. It says Satan loves it when we doubt, because we'll turn our eyes from Christ and turn to other things. We're not going to let him have that foothold. In Matthew chapter 26, I want to read just a little chunk out of this. I was listening as Peter was praying a little bit ago, and he touched on this. It says, it talks about not worrying in the chunk after verse 25. He says, "You are of little faith. Don't worry, saying, 'What should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." Our eyes need to be on Christ continually. All of our needs, God will provide for us. And if he doesn't at that time, well, sometimes we don't see the whole picture. Sometimes things happen and we don't understand why. Back in 1956, there was a pilot. His name was Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott and four other guys flew into a small unreached community down in Ecuador, and they were intending to bring the gospel to a group of Indians down there. They had a whole group of people behind them, encouraging them. And when they got there, their reward was being killed. Arrows, spears, all five of the guys that were there, they were all killed because they were trying to do what they saw the Lord wanted them to do. And that was their reward. Why? Why do these things happen? Sometimes we can't see it. 2 years later, Mr. Elliot's wife went back to those, back to that, the culture, to those people. And with time, the entire tribe gave their hearts to the Lord. So what if they had given up? It's too hard. I can't trust and obey. Can't do it. Oh, yes, we can. We just don't always see the big picture of what's going on. Sometimes we get to see it down the road, like with Joseph. He'd look back and say, wow, look how God prepared me for this. But we don't always get to see it. But that doesn't mean we should go our own way. We should still continue to do what's right with integrity and honesty before the Lord. But we can't do that unless we have Christ in our life. Maybe there's some people here today. Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. He lived a sinless life. He was killed for nothing that he did. He was hung on a cross, and he took your sin and my sin and paid the debt for it. Because God says, without the giving of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. He paid the price. But he didn't stay dead. And that's the exciting part. He came back to life. He conquered death because he loves you so much. If you've never made that decision to follow Christ and give him your heart today, you need to do that today. If you have done that, God says, we need to be living that way. We need to be trusting. We need to be obeying. Just like that song says, when it gets hard, he is our strength to fall back on. We can't do it on our own. It's a daily walk that God has to give direction in. Can't be by our own strength. So it doesn't matter what things God brings to us. It doesn't matter if we get thrown in prison. It doesn't matter if our brothers hate us or, you know, sisters. It doesn't matter. We can be faithful in the small things that God brings to us, from the very young to the very old. And when we're faithful in those, God will give us more to be faithful in. And we can trust and obey that his word is truth, and we can live in that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we're able to kind of do a recap on Joseph's life and the example that you've put in the word of his life for us to see. I pray that we would have the strength to trust and obey, even in the hard times. When we can't see the end, it seems like things are just going wrong one after another. That we would constantly look to you. And then in the times when things are not going wrong one after another, where things are easy for us, that we wouldn't say it's our own strength, and we would keep our eyes on you and keep looking to you so that Satan can't attack and have victory. Thank you for each one that's here. Give us the strength to keep looking to you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.